All right, let's go ahead and begin, and we'll begin with a word of prayer. Father, we pray as we look into the important issue of the approval of the Lord Jesus Christ that we would all be attentive and that your Spirit would show us what your word has to say about this important topic. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, am I fading in and out or is that just me? We may have to have somebody look over there. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:27. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I was talking with a leading Calvinist pastor and theologian a number of years ago, and I asked him, is it true that all of those who are born again, what he would call all of the elect, persevere in faith and good works until the end? And he said, yes. And I said, isn't it impossible to know for sure if we will persevere to the end? And he cited this verse and said, if the Apostle Paul wasn't sure, neither can we be. And I said, this verse, 1 Corinthians 9:27. And I said, doesn't that mean, therefore, that we don't know where we're going until we die? And he said, I see in my life what I think are the marks of the Spirit, but I must admit I may fall away and fail to persevere. And if so, I'm going to the lake of fire. This man was pastoring a church of over 1,000 people and teaching in a leading seminary, Calvinist seminary. Paul says, but I discipline my body. King James, my favorite verse, I buffet my body. No, I buffet my body. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become... King James has a bad translation here, a castaway. New King James and most other translations have another bad translation, disqualified, because they're going back to the race illustration. But the Greek word is adokimos, which means disapproved or not approved. So we're going to be looking at Christ's approval in this message. Let's see. Can we adjust that to where it fits, Sean? Because it's not fitting on the screen. There we go. Okay. Is that going to fit? Not quite, but a little bit. Be diligent to present your approved workman to God, a worker who need not be ashamed. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. Are you familiar with Awana Children's Ministry? It's based on this verse. Approved workmen are not ashamed. But did you know that the word approved here is dokimos in Greek? You can think of a big dock with a key on it covered with moss. Dokimos. And the Greek word in 1 Corinthians 9:27, lest I should be disqualified, really disapproved, is adokimos. Adokimos, as we would say in the South. When you put an A in front of a word in Greek, it reverses its meaning. Just like in English, for example, the opposite of typical is atypical, right? And the opposite of symptomatic is asymptomatic. And you can give example after example. The opposite of someone who is a theist is an atheist, someone who does not believe in God. The opposite of dokimos is adokimos. So one who... Approved workmen are not ashamed. Shouldn't our goal in life be to be approved by Christ? To not be ashamed at His coming. In fact, 1 John 2:28, which Zane Hodges suggests is the theme verse of the book, and says, and now little children abide in Him so that when He appears, that's the parousia, we may have confidence or boldness and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And so we want to be people who have confidence, not shame. We want to be approved, not ashamed. Luke 19 and verse 17, the parable of the minas, the first servant goes from 1 to 10. He says, well done, good servant, because you were faithful little, have authority over 10 cities, right? And so this would be approval, and that's what we should aim for. Now look, I was a surprise in life. I mean, when I was born. My parents had been married for about 16 years when I was born. My mother was just about 40 when I was born. But my parents were delighted in everything. But my dad's dad had been an alcoholic, and my dad's dad didn't approve of my dad. And I think this goes back many generations of alcoholics and disapproval and that sort of thing. So my dad was an alcoholic, and my dad didn't approve of me. Now, he loved me greatly, and he wanted a son, and here I was, the son and everything. But he didn't really approve of me. And when he died in 1989, it kind of left a hole in my heart, you know, where you have this lack of approval from your parents, and it leaves you kind of feeling like, I want that. And for a while, I found myself subconsciously trying to find older men who were kind of like my dad who would approve of me. And I realized if they're like kind of like my dad, they're not going to approve of me. But then the other thing I realized is ultimately the approval that I missed from my dad is to point me to the approval of Christ. And the reason why that hurt was because I want Christ's approval. But it finally dawned on me that I don't have to have my dad's approval to have Christ's approval. Are you with me on that? And so we need to be striving for Christ's approval. And in fact, in some cases, if a person strives for their parents' approval and their parents are unbelievers and are contrary to the things of God, they're going to lose Christ's approval by seeking their parents' approval, by actually denying Christ in order to please their parents, not being baptized to please their parents, not confessing their faith to please their parents. And so we need to seek Christ's approval. That should be what we're aiming for in life. Now, many people wrongly think that Christ's approval is to enter his kingdom. And so they think, if, like the pastor I was talking to, if you're not approved, you're going to the lake of fire. You know why I've got that daisy over there, right? Because that's daisy theology. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. You hope you end your life on the petal that says he loves me. But truth is, isn't that the way most people live in Christianity? Arminians believe you can lose eternal life. Calvinists believe you can't be sure you have it. Not all Calvinists, fortunately. But many Calvinists believe you can't be sure you have it. And so it's actually a small percentage of people who name the name of Jesus who believe you can be certain of your eternal destiny. But if you're not certain of your eternal destiny, as we're going to see in a moment, the whole issue of eternal rewards becomes meaningless. The idea of approval becomes converted into acceptance. Being approved becomes converted into getting into the kingdom. So parental is important, approval is important, but Christ's approval trumps that, right? Christ's approval is the most important approval there is. And if we don't get that down, then we've not yet grown to the point in our Christian life where we have a basic mind of Christ. Remember Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, but we have the mind of Christ? He doesn't mean we born-again people have the mind of Christ. He means we spiritual believers have the mind of Christ. If I'm a carnal believer, I don't have the mind of Christ. If I'm a spiritual believer, I have the mind of Christ. And that's why we need the renewal of our minds so that our behavior can follow. Approval is not guaranteed to all believers. Now, we talked about adokimos earlier. Adokimos refers to disapproval, not disqualify. Let's see if I can circle this. Yeah, did see, Sean? No, it didn't work. Okay. Anyway, oh, thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. It refers to that. Now, obviously, when Paul says, I discipline my body and bring to subjection, lest when I preach to others, I might be disapproved. Therefore, the Apostle Paul thought it was possible he could be disapproved, right? But the Apostle Paul knew he was born again. He said, I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What day? The judgment seat of Christ. And he's saying, the works that I've done, he's going to recompense me for. Remember Jesus said, don't lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in or steal, but lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust and thieves and the IRS... I can't break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I call those instant winners. When you do something in the right motive for Christ, you're laying up treasure in heaven. Paul says, I know what I've committed to him. I'm going to be recompensed one day. But he wasn't, of course, sure he was going to be approved until the very end of his life, when in 2 Timothy 4, 6, 7, and 8, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all who have loved his appearing, loved his coming. That's what this conference is about, right? Loving his appearing, loving his company, coming, and being people who are seeking his approval over the approval of anyone else. That, because his approval means more to us than the approval of anyone else. Salvation is certain. Approval, however, is not certain. Now what happened? I'm jumping too much. Okay, salvation is certain. Approval is uncertain. Remember when Martha is asked by Jesus, do you believe this? He's just said, I am the resurrection and the life. As the resurrection, he says, he who believes in me, though he may die physically, yet he shall live physically. That's the promise of resurrection. That's why he says, I am the resurrection. He promises to give the body, as Tommy was saying earlier, I mean the believer, a glorified body. As the life, what would you expect him to say? He's everlasting life, right? 1 John, all through 1 John, he is everlasting life. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. In Greek, never die means never die. If you go to seminary, you too can have these key insights. However, he said, I am the life. He didn't say, I am the non-death. Right? All through John's gospel, he says, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Right? But here he says it by denying the opposite. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. If you find a living human being who believes in Jesus, you know about that person that they're never going to die spiritually. That is, they'll never experience the second death of Revelation 20 and verses 12 through 14. They will not be cast into the lake of fire. That's impossible. And then Jesus says, do you believe this? And she doesn't go, well, let me check my works out. Let me see how I feel. I'm not sure about my feelings. No, she doesn't check her feelings. She doesn't check her works. She doesn't check her commitment. She says, yes, Lord, I believe. And then she doesn't repeat what he says. She doesn't say, yes, Lord, I believe you are the resurrection and the life. I believe that everyone who believes in you, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in you shall never die. Instead, she says why she believes that. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And this is, in John, the statement of the saving message. You see it in John 20:31, the purpose statement. Anybody who believes this is born again. But what is believing Christ is the Son of God? It's what Jesus just said. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. Once I believe in him as my Savior, as the one who has given me everlasting life, well, then I know I have it, right? I remember the story of Chapman and D.L. Moody. And Chapman came to him after an evangelistic message, said, I'm struggling with assurance. And he said, read John 5:24. So he read it out loud. You know, he who hears my word and believes in who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Moody says, any other questions? He says, I'm sorry, sir, but I still don't get it. Read it again. So he reads it again. Any other question? He says, I don't want to be dense here, but I don't get it. Read it again, sir. So he reads it again. He who hears my words and believes in it has everlasting life, shall not come to judgment. Has passed from death. You're not saying that if I simply believe in Jesus, I have everlasting life now, are you? That I'll never come into judgment and that I've already passed from death into life? And he says, no, man, I'm not saying that. Jesus is. You know what? Chapman never lost assurance after that. Why should he? Because it's not about us, is it? Who makes the promise? We or he? He makes the promise. It's not about me promising to serve him And that's how I know I'm born again, because of my commitment and my obedience and my works. It's about His commitment, His obedience, and His works. It's about His promise, not my promise. And once He makes that promise, He can't go back on it, or the universe would fly apart. Because God cannot lie. Right? Okay, well, we're somewhere here. Where are we? Okay. Paul said, I'm preaching. But salvation certain, but approval, I discipline my body, lest having preached to others about what? 1 Corinthians 9:24-27 is about the judgment seat of Christ and winning the race and getting the prize of ruling with Christ and having His approval. Lest having preached to others about the judgment seat of Christ, I myself would be adokimos. Wouldn't it be ashamed if I'm preaching to you about Christ's approval and then I didn't have it? That's Paul's point. He preaches about this all the time. And yet, he knows it's not certain he's going to get it. Because even an apostle has to persevere to get the prize. You with me? All right. Approval to rule with Christ. In 1 Corinthians 9, if you look at verses 24 through 26, you will see the background to verse 27. Look at what he says here. I'm on 23. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." He's thinking of the games probably that were outside of Corinth called the Isthmian Games. They had every 3 years, and they would have a 200-meter race, and they would have a runner, and they would win, and they would get a wreath. Sometimes they would get a lifetime exemption from taxes. They might get their name on the outside of the stadium. But what kind of prize were they running for? Look at verse 25. "Everyone who competes for a prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown." What's the opposite of a perishable crown? An imperishable crown. "But we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty." In other words, it's not like, I have no idea how long this race is. I have no idea where the lane is. I have no idea where the finish line is. He's running with certainty. "And thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. In boxing, you score points by striking your opponent, not by missing your opponent." So he's just not, his life isn't haphazard. His life is directed toward what? Toward winning the prize, which is a crown. Crowns in Scripture symbolize ruling with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so when he gets to the approval in verse 27, this is approval to rule with Christ. This is him saying, this is one whom I approve of to be one of my co-heirs, to be one of my co-rulers. That's what we should be striving for. We should run in such a way that we may win that. So the Christian life is a challenge. Yes, it's not automatic, but it's a tremendous challenge because if Jesus is Savior, and He is, and if He's Lord, and He is, and if He has given us eternal life because of His shed blood at Calvary, then shouldn't we have tremendous gratitude to Him? And shouldn't we long to have as much service we can for Him, both now and forever? Well, what if your eternal service for Christ depends on your service for Christ now? What if your life for Christ now determines how full your service for Christ will be then? And what if our fullness of joy forever depends on how fully we're serving Christ? Well then, right now in this life, we're determining our level of service for Christ forever. Some people have said we're all going to have full cups in the kingdom. It's just some people are going to have the little Demetos cups, and some people are going to have swimming pool size cups. What size do you want? How full do you want your cup to be? Only the approved workmen are going to rule with Christ. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we deny Him, that is, we do not endure in our confession of faith, our walk with Him, He will deny us again. Deny not that He owns it, not that He doesn't own us. Know us. In fact, the NIV there is pretty sad. It says, if we disown Him, He will disown us. That's not what the Greek says. It's just like what Peter did. If we deny Him, He will deny us. Deny us what? The privilege of ruling with Christ, which is what the first half of the verse says. If we endure, we'll reign. If we don't endure, we won't reign. That is, if we deny him, he will deny us the privilege of reigning with him. All believers have everlasting life. Get used to it. Right? You can't get rid of it, even if you wanted to. And so if your friends are not believers and you want to spend eternity with them, start evangelizing them. Because you're not going where they're going. You can't pick that anymore. Because once you believe in Jesus, you've got everlasting life. So the issue of approval is reigning with Christ. Those who reign with Christ, he will approve as faithful stewards. He will judge to have been faithful. What does 1 Corinthians 4:2 says? It is required of a steward, one be found faithful. Dokimos, approved. Another word for that is faithful, faithful, faithful. Here's a faithful. Who's he going to say this before? Before the Father and before the angels and before all church age believers. This is going to be an open judgment, not some secret judgment. And it'll be even before the Father and before the angels. Wouldn't it be great on that day to hear approved, faithful? Not because we're good, but because he's good. And because he will produce good works in and through us if we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. If we long for the pure milk of the Word. And God takes the Word and changes us bit by bit over time. And so we want to be found faithful. Remember Apelles in Romans 16:10? That shouldn't say Greek. That should say greet. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. I think what Paul's saying there is this man, Apelles, at that point was an approved workman. Like Paul, he wasn't guaranteed he'd stay that way, right? But his name is in Scripture as one who at that point was approved. And today you may be here and you may be walking with Christ and you may be a faithful servant of Christ. You may be approved of Christ right now. If you were to die right now, you'd be approved. But what happens if you fall away in the future? Well, then you'll be in the kingdom, but you'll miss the approval. So we need to persevere. We need to be people who are walking with Christ. Assurance is needed to appreciate rewards. Notice, this is tested and approved. I found that people who do not believe you can be sure don't care anything about eternal rewards. For them, getting into the kingdom itself is a reward. Right? They think of being approved by Christ as something that's necessary to get into the kingdom. They think the crowns and ruling with Christ and all that is something every believer is going to have. If you're what kind of a believer? A true believer, a really big show believer, as Ed Sullivan would say, right? Look, there's no such thing as a true believer. You're either a believer or an unbeliever. There's no, you know, anything in between. You either believe the promise of everlasting life or you don't believe the promise of everlasting life. If you've ever believed it, then you'll never die. Because that's the promise. But as far as approval, we've got to endure. We've got to persevere. In fact, that's why I think all these theologies that are teaching some form of work salvation not only make it very difficult for people to be born again because they have to reject what they're hearing to be born again, but secondly, they make it very hard if you're a believer and you come to believe that. Well, now you lose your assurance and now you lose your esteem in terms of seeking Christ's approval. Because if you're trying to do good works in order to get into the kingdom, well, now your motives are all messed up. Right? We should not be trying to buy our way into the kingdom. How can that glorify God? How can that glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Did he pay 80% at Calvary? 90%? 95%? How much do I have to pay? If I have to pay any, then he didn't pay at all, right? And his work isn't finished. His work is just kind of mostly done. And we have to add to it. We have to finish it. No. And so it's a free gift, but in terms of rewards, once we are sure of our eternal destiny, now we of all people should be highly motivated to have his approval. So we should focus on Christ's approval. 1 Corinthians 9:27. We long to be dokimos, not adokimos. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. We long to be the people who at the end of our lives can say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And by the way, those are the two things in 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 25, and 26, right? Fighting the fight, running the race. At the end of his life, he said, I did it. But at that point, he wrote 1 Corinthians. He hadn't done it, right? He was doing it, but he hadn't persevered. But God has revealed to him he's going to die. As he writes 2 Thessalonians, he's going to be martyred. And so he can now say, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. And he knows the crown of righteousness is there for him and for all who've loved his appearing. So we need to focus daily on that. That's what eschatology is about, right? Eschatology isn't about intellectual curiosity. Eschatology is really about producing love for Christ in us, producing a desire for his approval, realizing that he could come back today or tomorrow. And so every day I need to live for Christ. I can't afford to say, you know what, I think I'll take a few years off. Right? How could I do that? I can't even take a few hours or days off because I don't want to be someone who's departed from the faith and then the Lord returns. I need to be a person who's walking with Christ. You remember Maslow? Well, I don't remember him, but in 1943 he wrote a psychology deal on the hierarchy of needs. And his highest level was self-actualization, or fulfilling your potential. According to the Bible, that's not quite right. I think the highest need humans have is everlasting life, right? You're dead, you need life. And until you get that, you can be as self-actualized as you want, you're on your way to the lake of fire. But once you have everlasting life, now he's on the right track. Now we do want to have self-actualization, but self-actualization in the sense that really this is Christ actualization in us. That he is causing us to fulfill our potential. He is causing us to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith. And so the way I view it, Maslow was on the right track, but the key is, first, we evangelize our children, our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors, because they need life. They need everlasting life. And once they've got it, then we teach them about Christ's approval. And just like mom and dad's approval means a lot to all of us, Jesus' approval trumps it all. It's the most important approval. And that's what we're longing for. We're longing for him to return. And we're longing for him to be pleased with us. Because doesn't he mean more to us than anybody in the world? And so wouldn't it be a shame to have the world's approval and not Christ's approval? That would be sad. We want Christ's approval, and that's what we should strive for. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the free gift of everlasting life, for the promise that the one who lives and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will never die. Father, we thank you too for the prospect of Christ's approval. How we long to hear him say, "Well done, good servant." May we keep our focus on Christ's soon return. And we pray in his matchless name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
For more resources, visit faithalone.org.